Good afternoon again, everyone, and thank you for joining me for our virtual advising webinar for Awards to Europe and Eurasia. My name is Kimberly Williams, and I am an Outreach and Recruitment Officer with the Institute of International Education. Before we get started, if you would be so kind to reply in the question box if you can hear me and see my screen, that will be greatly appreciated. Okay, perfect. So we are going to do a couple of walkthroughs in this webinar, but in the meantime, before we get to our Q&A session, please feel free to type your questions into the chat box and I will address them as we go. So before we get started, I'd like to take a few minutes to discuss our mission and history. Established in 1946 by Congress, Fulbright is a cultural exchange program sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, and in partnership with 160 countries, Fulbright offers faculty, administrators, and professionals opportunities to study, teach, or conduct research abroad. Our mission, which is to foster mutual understanding between nations, advance knowledge across communities, and improve lives around the world, is really the heart of Fulbright. Diversity and inclusion is at the forefront of our mission. We are actively recruiting a diverse pool of applicants from a variety of institutions to include community colleges, minority-serving, and rural institutions. Opportunities are open to people regardless of their race, color, national origin, sex, age, religion, geographic location, socioeconomic status, disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Fulbright by the numbers. So the program funds over 8,000 awards annually to include 800 U.S. scholars and administrators. If selected for the Fulbright program, you become a part of a very vast network of alumni, which is currently over 390,000. So I wanted to go over eligibility for the U.S. Scholar Program. Some of the basic eligibility requirements are that applicants be U.S. citizens. Now, degree and experience is as required by the specific award. I'd like to point out that prior recipients of Fulbright Awards are allowed to reapply after a two-year waiting period. More information can be found on our policy page. So in terms of our application components, we have our online application form, our project statement, your CV or resume, and your two letters of recommendation. I'd like to point out that the two letters is something that's new this year. We are looking for one that is internal to your institution or organization, and one is that is external that can speak towards your teaching and or research skills. Also, we do encourage you to begin the application process as soon as possible. There is biographical information that you can input to include your recommenders. What happens is once you input your recommenders information, a computer-generated link will be sent directly to them so that they can complete your recommendation and submit at their discretion. There's also the language proficiency report if required and the letter of invitation if it is required per the award. In terms of supplemental materials, it will be required the course outline or syllabi for teaching and select bibliography for research. Also, portfolio submissions are required for artists, architects, and journalists. Our project statement. So something that is very new is we now include a project statement guidance video that is on our website, and I will walk you through the process of seeing exactly where it's located. And this just gives you an overview of what Fulbright is looking for in terms of a project statement. Also included in your project statement, you will need to describe your proposed project in 3 to 5 pages. You really want to focus on what you plan to do, the specific courses that you plan to teach and the goals of your research and your methods, you want to explain the anticipated impact of your award not only on your host institution and host communities, but your home institution as well, and also include the personal impacts. Now, in terms of the supplemental questions in the application, in parentheses, we do have the characters because there are limitations to what you may input. So we are asking that you answer the question of why Fulbright, why that particular country, how adaptable are you, how well you deal with challenging situations, and how you will adapt your materials for the host culture. Understanding the awards. Now, every award is different. However, each award will be structured as this. There will be four parts. You have your award details, award requirements, award benefits, and the country and area overview section. We will do a walkthrough of the website just to give you a feel of what the different components of the award are and just some helpful information for you. So we receive a lot of questions about affiliations and invitations, so I wanted to take some time to discuss this. So when you are in the body of the award, under the Award Requirements tab, you will find additional information about the invitation requirement, whether or not a letter of invitation is required. Now, we don't have templates for the letters of invitation, but just to give you an idea, the letter of invitation is a non-binding expression of interest from your proposed host abroad. The letter should come from the person in which you will be collaborating with, and it should be on the host institution's letterhead. The host institution will send you the letter of invitation directly, and from there you're able to upload it directly to the application. Now, at this time, we are going to do a walkthrough of an award just to give you an idea of the different components. So if you can bear with me while I transition my screen. Okay, so here we are on our website, CIES.org. So from here, I'm going to go to the awards catalog. I'm going to select Explore U.S. Scholar Program. And from there, I can scroll down and select Awards Catalog. So there are a number of ways in which you can search for awards. You can search by region, country, or discipline. For the purpose of this exercise, I'm going to select the region, Europe and Eurasia, select awards. And since there are a number of you that are very new to this process, I wanted to do a walkthrough to give you an idea of how to further filter the catalog. So if you're searching just by region, you can see that 253 awards are found. If you scroll down to the left-hand side, you can further filter, again, by country, discipline, activity, grant length, degree requirement, candidate profile, or invitation letter. So for the purpose of this exercise, I am going to search for Ireland. Okay, so I'm not able to search for Ireland. So I will try to search by activity. So I'm going to select teaching and research. And so I will select Albania. So again, as we discussed, you have your four tabs at the top. If you're going through the awards tab, you'll first see the grant activity. So this will inform you of what your grant activity options are. So as you can see in this particular case, they've gone into detail about your teaching options, which are to teach undergrad or grad level courses, your grant length in this particular case, It is between 4 to 5 months. And I do want to point out, we do receive this question quite frequently. So you're not able to deviate from the grant length that is listed in the award. So if the length is indicated 4 to 5 months, if you weren't available for at least those 4 months, you wouldn't be eligible to pursue this award. Underneath, you'll see the grant dates, which is usually driven by the academic calendar. So in this case, they're giving you the option of October 2021 or mid-February of 2022. Here is the location section. So generally, this will give you information about possible institutions for affiliation. And so as I stated, each award is different. Some awards you may come across where they will give you an extensive list of possible institutions. Others may indicate any acceptable host. I will show you a feature on the website that could be helpful in determining potential institutions for affiliation a little later. So we have our flex option. Our flex option is designed to give scholars an opportunity to complete their grant activities over the course of 2 consecutive years. And as you can see here, it does state the specific parameters for the flex option for this particular award. So the minimum length of the total grant is 4 months, and the maximum is 6. It also goes into a little more further detail as you scroll below. And then you could always click here on our website to get additional information on how the Flex Awards are structured. We do offer over 60 Flex Awards in all world regions. And so underneath the discipline type, any information regarding the disciplines will be listed here. Now, this particular award is an all disciplines award. So if there were specific preference or priority for the award, it would be listed here. Special features are include any pertinent information about the particular award. In this case, housing is an option for the award, so it is listed here. I'd like to point your attention to the far right-hand side. So as you can see, our application deadline is Tuesday, September 15th. Underneath, you will see the possible grant activities for this particular award. So they include the professional project and teaching, research, teaching, and the combination of teaching and research. Degree requirements will inform applicants what the requirements are in this particular case. A PhD or other terminal degree are not required. The candidate profile includes who the award is open to in this particular case. Professionals, academics of all levels, including early career, are open to applying to this award. And the number of grants, this is not an exact number, but an estimate. So there are about approximately one award that is available. And some of the most important information in the body of the award is going to be the program staff member that is assigned to that particular country. You can see the phone number and email address, and I'd also like to point out the join in the office hour. I'm going to click on that, which is a relatively new feature. Each world region offers office hours throughout the week, once a week, and this gives applicants an opportunity to log in. It's in the same GoToMeeting platform to ask questions. We do website walkthroughs. You don't have to download any special software or even share your camera. You can come to listen or ask specific questions. So for Europe and Eurasia, our meetings are typically every Monday until the application deadline of September 15th between 4 o'clock p.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so all you would need to do is click on the link, which is found in any award that is within Europe and Eurasia, and you can sign up and register your interest. So I'm going to hit the back button. So we just covered the award details tab. I'm going to go next to the award requirements tab. So we spoke a little bit earlier about the letter of invitation. So in this particular case, a letter of invitation is optional. Even though it is optional, I do highly recommend that you secure the letter of invitation because it shows buy-in from the institution and that there is an interest in your project and proposal. So again, because not every award is the same, I do want to point out A couple of features within this one. The public affairs staff at the U.S. Embassy in this case can help you establish contacts between yourself and potential institutions, faculty at institutions. So we do encourage you to utilize any contacts that are in the body of the email to help you secure the letter of invitation. If you scroll down, there will be contact information of who you may contact to secure the letters, but I wanted to take you through the next couple of areas as well. So if there is language proficiency requirements for the particular award, it will be listed here. And the additional language requirements sections, again, it has some carryover information regarding the language proficiency. So I wanted to scroll down. In this particular case, each institution is hyperlinked so that if you are looking to make contact with a faculty member, you can select the hyperlink next to the institution and check their institutional directory for their contact information. And again, for the letter of invitation, you're looking to make contact with any appropriate faculty member within the department or even department chair or dean. I typically advise applicants to send their CV, a link to the specific award that they're interested in, as well as a brief description of what they're proposing to do to inquire if there is an interest in their background and expertise. If it is, you can proceed with requesting the letter of invitation. So we're scrolling up, we're going to the next tab, which is stipend and benefits. And so this gives you a range of the potential stipend for applicants. If you scroll down, you'll see estimated travel and relocation allowances. Underneath, you'll see estimated book and research allowances, if any. And finally, if dependent tuition allowance is available, you will see what that looks like there. So Fulbright does encourage applicants to bring their dependents if it is something that's feasible. So we do have some generous tuition benefits and other allowances for your dependents. And finally, we have our country and area overview. This just gives a general overview of the country or maybe even the educational system. So there is helpful information that can be found here. Again, if there is a contact with the in-country embassy, it will be listed here. As you can see for this particular award, they indicate a public affairs officer. So I am going back to our webpage of Fulbright Scholar Program, and I'm going to select home. So earlier we discussed affiliation, and we talked about how every award is very different. Some awards may indicate what your affiliation options are within a country, and other awards may just indicate any appropriate institution. So there are a couple of things that you can do to better understand what your options are in terms of affiliation, and that would be our Fulbright Scholar Directory. So from the home page, I selected Fulbright Scholar Directory. And be sure to select U.S. Scholar as your scholar type. You can select Advanced Filters. And let's say I'm interested in what some of my options for affiliation are in Ireland. So I'm going to type in Ireland in Program Country, and I'm going to hit Search. So here we are at the Scholar Directory. As I said, I like to select Academic Year to sort it for me in order. So here I can see every institution that our alumni have affiliated with over the past 10 years. And so if you don't have an idea of potential institutions for affiliation, this is a great place to come because you can see different options. Or something else you can do if you're curious at how often an institution has hosted scholars, what you can do is simply copy the name of an institution. You can scroll back up to Advanced Filters. I'm going to remove Ireland, and I'm going to input the institution within Host Institution, select Search. And from here, you can see how many of our alum have affiliated with an institution. So there are a couple of things that you want to pay attention to in the body of an award. There could be times where there is a priority for the type of institution that you are selecting. For example, it could be worded in your award that we are seeking applicants who are proposing to go to institutions that have not hosted scholars on a consecutive basis or who've ever hosted scholars. So using the example of Dublin Institute of Advanced Studies, if that were a priority in one of the awards for Ireland to select institutions that have not hosted on a consecutive basis, I would search for this particular institution. I would see that they've only hosted one scholar in the last 10 years, and so that would definitely meet the priority that was listed in the body of the award. So at this time, if you can bear with me, I am going to pause my screen and go back to our presentation so that I can begin answering some questions. So bear with me, please. Okay, so in regards to the letters of recommendation, we have a question about letters of recommendation. So we are only requiring two letters of recommendation, and one is going to be internal to your institution or organization, and the second can be external, and it will be anyone that can speak towards your teaching and or research skills. Okay. So here's another question about giving feedback on application material. So unfortunately, myself and my colleagues are unable to give specific feedback on project statements or any other materials. I do just want to remind applicants that this is a competition, so we would be unable to maybe critique your project statement. I do want to refer you back, and I can share my screen a little later, refer you back to some of the requirements, specifically the page numbers, things of that nature for your application. Even with your project statement, I highly recommend you take a look at the project statement video that we spoke of earlier, because it helps, it gives you insight into what needs to be included in your project statement, as well as some of the parameters. So I'm seeing quite a few questions about whether or not specific degrees are considered to be terminal. I'll answer this specific question, but if you are unsure of whether or not your degree is there's a terminal degree within your field, I do recommend that you reach out to the program officer that is listed in the body of the award that you're hoping to apply to. But for the purpose of the Master's of Fine Arts, that is considered to be a terminal degree. Again, if you have any specific questions regarding terminal degrees, do reach out to the program officer that is assigned to your specific award. Okay. So there's a question, do senior scholars need letters? Absolutely. So everyone is going to be required to submit the two letters of recommendation and the letter of invitation if required by your institution that will be hosting you. Again, not depending on the award, letters of invitation are not required for each award. However, if it's optional or preferred, we do recommend that you try to secure that letter. One thing that I would like to point out, though, however, while our application deadline is September 15th, we have extended only the deadline to secure your letters of invitation to October 15th. So I do want to repeat, the application deadline is still September 15th. However, you have until October 15th to submit your letters of invitation. There's questions about submitting more than two letters. So my assumption, this is for the letters of recommendation. And so that wouldn't be necessary. We're only requiring the two. Again, one that's internal and one that's external. Okay. So we have a question about awards that are available to applicants that do not have a PhD. And we absolutely have a wide variety of awards that are open to professionals that don't require a terminal degree. Again, we can circle back to the website before we conclude the webinar today, but you would just need to filter out your website, your search results for awards that don't require terminal degrees, but we do have that option. Okay, if you can bear with me, I'm just scrolling through questions. Okay, so I do see a couple of questions from PhD students that are wondering if they are eligible to apply for awards that require terminal degrees. And so you are eligible to apply only if you will have completed your degree program by February 2021. If you will not complete your PhD program by February of 2021, you would not be eligible. But I do want to point your attention to the student program. The student program is open to any individual that has not yet completed their PhD. So even though you're at the brink of almost finishing, you still qualify for the student program. So I recommend taking a look at some opportunities within the student program. Or as I said, we do offer a wide variety of opportunities that are available for applicants that don't have a terminal degree. Okay, let's see. You can bear with me. Okay, so I do want to point out, I am seeing some very specific questions that have to do with your particular, your specific circumstances. If you wouldn't mind emailing the program officer that is listed in the award, that way they can talk through your specific circumstances. So if you're new to the process and you're not quite sure which way to go, I will refer you to, as I said, our Monday Join an Office Hour. That's a great way to speak to a program officer to determine maybe some next steps or what some of your options are. Okay, let's see. So in terms of your course load, I have a question about course load. So your course load will be determined by your host institution. And so if it is not listed in the body of the award, what the course load may look like, especially for teaching and research awards, I do recommend you reach out to the institution to first find out what their expectations are. I say this specifically for teaching and research awards. For example, with teaching, there may be additional responsibilities such as curriculum development, advising, working with their faculty. So you just want to make sure you're well aware of what the expectations are. Okay, let's see. Again, I'm seeing a lot of questions about applicants that are working on completing their PhDs, and again, we do have a lot of opportunities that are open for applicants without terminal degrees, but for the purpose of qualifying for an award that requires a terminal degree, you must complete your PhD program no later than February of 2021. Okay, if you can bear with me, I'm just going through the questions. Here's a great question. Can we apply for only one award in a given year? So absolutely, within the award catalog, you're only eligible to apply for one of those. Okay. I see questions about the syllabi that are required if you are proposing to teach. So you are required to submit 3 syllabi, and it could be from courses that were previously taught. You would have to indicate that they were previously taught, or they could be courses that you are proposing to teach. Again, once I'm done with the Q&A session, I will walk you through portions of the website that will give you more information about the specifics in terms of what's required. Okay, let's see what else. Okay, I have a question about letters of invitation and how detailed the projects should be. So again, I wanted to point out for the letter of invitation, there isn't a template for it. The letter of invitation is going to come from your host institution on letterhead, and it's going to detail what your grant activity is, whether it's going to be teaching and or research, for example, what the duration of your grant is. For example, you know, you're going to be completing a six-month grant starting in August of 2021. And the most important component of the letter of invitation is that your host institution will have to indicate what the impact of hosting you is going to be on their institutional community, what is going to be the impact and outcomes of hosting you. They would also need to include any additional responsibilities that you would be engaged in. For example, speaking engagements are pretty frequent if you're going to be a Fulbright scholar abroad. So if there were anything that dealt with that, they would need to include that in the letter of invitation. And again, they're sending it directly to you, and then you can upload it to your application directly. Okay, so that's a great question about not necessarily the deadlines, but next steps after submitting your application. So applications are due September 15th. Between October and, let's say, early December, we are going to hold our peer review, and that's when a panel of your peers will be reviewing your application materials. By the end of December, you will receive notification of whether or not your application passed peer review, and it will be moving forward for in-country review. So you have your in-country review, and then you have your review by our Fulbright Scholarship Board. So typically, applicants will find out if they were selected around the first week in May. Okay, these are all great questions. Thank you so much. Here's another great one. Should you try to secure more than one letter of invitation? Well, it all depends. I would only recommend securing more than one letter if you are interested in dual affiliation. So dual affiliation is an option where you could affiliate with more than one institution. But a couple of things with that, you'd have to indicate who your primary institution would be and give justification for it in your project statement. The same with the secondary institution, you'd want to indicate why the need for dual affiliation. So a couple of things that I do recommend you take a look at, though, again, when you're reaching out to the institutions, you also want to find out what the expectation is in terms of your role and responsibilities. For example, if you are thinking about dual affiliation with two institutions, maybe teaching and research, you really want to find out what else is going to be required of you. So again, that curriculum development, working with faculty, advising students, because the selection panel is going to evaluate these things and, you know, really want to know how feasible is it for you to affiliate with two institutions based on what some of the responsibilities are in addition to your teaching load. So those are some questions to ask while considering dual affiliation. Okay, let's see. Okay, so I wanted to answer some of the questions about letters of recommendation. So I see a couple of questions about letters of recommendation. So again, letters of recommendation, there are only two that are required. So one is going to be internal to your current institution or organization if you're a professional. The second one can be anyone that can speak towards your teaching and or research skills. So let's say you're applying to France, and you have your first letter of recommendation secured with your home institution, and you're looking for someone for your second. You just so happen to have prior experience teaching and conducting research in France. You can very well use someone from an institution in France that you have experience working with, or it can be someone domestic, anyone that can really speak towards your teaching and research skills. Something else that I recommend is when you're reaching out to your recommenders initially to see if they would mind recommending you for Fulbright, also send them a link to the specific award that you're applying to so that they can speak specifically to, you know, any of the requirements in the award and, you know, anything that they're aware that you've done previously. So it's always a great idea to include them in the process by sending them a link to the actual award. Okay. So there was a question about some of the terminology I used in regard to institution and organization in terms of the letters of recommendation. So I say institution if you're coming from academia and organization if you are applying as a professional. You would need the letter of invitation to come from your current organization or employer. Okay, I'm just scrolling through the questions. I have another question about the letters of recommendation. Can both recommendation letters be from within my university? Absolutely, they can. Okay, let's see. Again, I'm seeing a lot of specific questions regarding specific awards. If you wouldn't mind reaching out to the program officer that is assigned in the body of the award. Okay. Okay, so there are a couple of questions about searching for past scholars, and I'm happy to do a walkthrough of the scholar directory again. I'm going to answer a few more questions, and then we can do a walkthrough again, and we can do a walkthrough of different components of the application and where to find the project statement video. Okay, so just going through questions. So here's another great question. What type of detail are reviewers looking for in letters of recommendation? So again, that's when I mentioned sending your recommender a link to the actual award so that they can draw comparisons between what's mentioned in the award and maybe some activities that you were engaged in or courses that you taught. You really want to, again, try to involve them in the process. Let's see. A couple of other questions about letters of recommendation. So only two are required. You do not have to submit more than two. Okay. So again, I apologize if I'm repeating the same information, but I see a couple of the same questions, but they're on very important topics, so I do want to make sure I address them. So I received another question about reviewing application materials, and unfortunately, we are not able to review your project statement, CVs, or any other additional materials as they're being submitted to the application because it is a competition and we want to be fair to all applicants. So unfortunately, no, we're not able to do so. Okay, so this webinar is recorded and it will be available on our website within the next few days. So you are able to check our archived webinars. It will be there. Okay. So again, I see some of the same questions, but I still want to address them. I'm seeing another question about dual affiliation, and again, it is possible. You would need to indicate which institution would be your primary, which institution, which would be the other, will be your secondary, and why. So you would have to address that in your project statement. Okay, here's a really good question. Is it okay to repeat information on the application short answers and in the project statement? So this is a very good question. I think I saw this asked again. So yes, you will find yourself repeating some of the information that you were putting in your project statement. It is completely fine to include it in the short answers. I have another question about extending your Fulbright. So if the duration of your Fulbright is, let's say, 5 to 6 months, if you have an interest in extending it, this would be something completely separate from Fulbright. This would be a conversation you would have in country once you were actually completing your grant activity. So Fulbright does not have anything to do with that process, but if you wanted to work out some sort of agreement with your host institution, you are welcome to do so, but it can't be guaranteed that that would be an option. Okay, just going through a couple of more questions. So in terms of the application materials, there is a page limit, and we are going to walk through that before the webinar concludes to show you what some of the page limits are and where to see the requirements for the application materials. Okay. So I wanted to circle back to the letters of invitation again. I'm seeing a lot of questions on how to secure letters of invitation. So again, you don't have to have contacts within the institution. A couple of things you can do. You can start by looking at their institutional directory. You really want to identify an appropriate faculty member, dean, department chair within the department. Again, you're sending your CV, a link to the award, and a brief description on what you are proposing to do, and you can request the letter of invitation that way if there is an interest. Again, we're going to walk through the scholar directory again, but you can also scroll our scholar directory. If you happen to see an alum that is in your same discipline, that is affiliated with an institution that you're interested in, you're more than welcome to reach out to them. While we don't have links to their contact information, you're able to look for them through their institutional directories, LinkedIn, or even Google. So it would be at their discretion, but our scholars, our alumni, they're pretty responsive to applicants. Okay, so I wanted to take about another four or five minutes for questions before we do a final website walkthrough. So if you have any last-minute questions, please feel free to type them in now. Okay, so I have questions about the project statement, what needs to be in the project statement. So you're really going to go in great detail about what you're proposing to do while you're in country, and you really want to talk about impact and outcomes. So Fulbright is looking for cultural ambassadors, and so, you know, while you want to detail what you plan to do within your institution, you also want to talk about what you plan to do outside of the institutional community. How are you going to interact with those in the local culture and community? Also, you want to discuss in detail how this grant experience is going to impact your home institution and home community, and you want to talk about long-term impact. So what will you plan to do to continue to nurture those relationships that you've built abroad? Typically, people may discuss some sort of exchange activity where they are bringing students from their home institutions over to the host institutions. Something else, Fulbright has a wide variety of institutional opportunities where you could work with your institution to bring faculty members over from perhaps your host university. You could bring them over for maybe a semester or two. We also have scholars that are currently in the United States, working with other institutions. You can invite them for something very short term to your home institution, maybe for a lectureship series for 2 or 3 days. So those are some of the things that can be mentioned in your project statement. But again, I do refer you to the project statement video because it does have a lot of helpful information. So I'm going to take some final questions, and I apologize if I did not get a chance to answer your question. Again, please send all of your questions, and I'll show you an email address shortly, but you can send us your questions and we can answer them offline. I do have a question about the Fulbright Specialist Program that is coming up, if you can bear with me. So the Fulbright Specialist Program is a program that is completely separate from the U.S. Scholar Program. It is administered through another organization by the name of World Learning. So I do encourage you, if you have any questions about that program, to maybe Google it. Again, it's the Fulbright Specialist Program. I see a couple of mentions regarding the program and the questions, and it is administered through World Learning, so unfortunately we wouldn't be able to look up any specific information regarding the program. Okay, so I have another question about countries that are options for awards. So any country, and I'll walk you through this, but all countries that are open to grant opportunities are going to be listed in the catalog. So if you run across a country that is not listed, that means that it is not eligible. Okay, so I'm going to take about maybe three or four more questions. So I have a good question here. How flexible are the start dates for a project, specifically research projects? So there is some flexibility. Typically in the award you will see a range of start date. For some awards, for example, you have the option of starting August 2021, or you could start January of 2021. It really all depends on the specific award that you're applying to, but it should give a range. Okay, so a couple of last minute questions. Okay, so this is a very important question. I've received this question many times today. So after answering the preliminary questions, the country and award page does not appear but goes to project documents. So when you are in the actual application, you will have to indicate your country of citizenship. So you're going to input the United States. Underneath, there's also a drop-down menu. You'll also have to scroll down to the United States and select that. Once you select it in both areas, it will open up the remainder of the application. So it gets a little tricky, but as long as you have indicated in both areas that you are a citizen of the United States, again, it will open up the rest of the application. Well, thank you so much for your questions. I did want to reserve the last few minutes to do another quick website walkthrough of some other areas of importance. So I'm seeing some last minute questions, and yes, if you didn't have your question answered, you are more than welcome to join us during our office hours. Again, office hours are going to be held every week until the application deadline. So for Europe and Eurasia, our office hours are between 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I will show you how to sign up for them if you can bear with me for 1 second. Okay, so we are back at our home page again, and so I've received a lot of questions about our scholar directory, so I wanted to point you to it again. So from the home page of CIES.org, you're going to scroll down underneath the graphic. You will see View the Scholar Directory, so you can select that. Okay, so you have two options in terms of scholar type. So you want to select U.S. scholar. The non-U.S., it's going to be all of our visiting scholars, so make sure you select U.S. scholar. You can select advanced filters. And again, you can search a number of ways. You can search by world region, program country, or host institution. So let's say you wanted to just search by program country. For example, we'll do Albania, search, and there you will have all of our alum for the past 10 years, and so I'm going to click on another just to show you this example. So to the right, you can see their host institution, and to the left, you can see information about their home institution. So, for example, let's say you wanted to reach out to this person because you had questions about their Fulbright experience. Again, you can see their home institution, William Patterson. You could simply Google the university, and you could use their institutional directory, or you could just Google or find them on LinkedIn. And I wanted to point you down here to their grant information so you can see the type of grant they were on in this particular case. It was teaching, their start date, and then you can see their project title. So I want to take you back to the home page, and I wanted to show you just a couple of other things based on the questions that I received. Okay, so here we are in the U.S. Scholar Program. You have a few tabs across the top. You have eligibility, application, review criteria, so on and so forth. So if I'm clicking on application and I scroll down, here it gives me the requirements for each of the components of the application. So you have your project statement, for example. I'm going to click on that. And if I scroll down a little, there you can see the project statement guidance video. Okay, and then if I go back, you can see for yourself some of the areas in which your statement needs to address. So what you propose to do, how you propose to do it, why is it important, and what are the benefits, you know, in terms of what it will produce for you, your host, your discipline, and your home institution. And so it really depends also based on your grant activity. And so it has it categorized based on grant activity of what is required. So as you can see, it breaks it down for teaching, research, and then the combination of teaching and research. And then if you scroll down further, I received a lot of questions about formatting requirements. So here you have it. The project statement is 3 to 5 pages, single spaced. And then if you scroll down a little more, you have information on the short essay questions. And so the last place I wanted to take you would be the join an office hour. So the easiest way to do it, if you're in the awards catalog, so it doesn't matter what country you're selecting, it's embedded in each award for Europe and Eurasia. So if I click on Albania, again, I'd like to point out that each award has a program staff member. So if you have any specific questions outside of the join an office hour, you can reach out to your program staff person that's assigned to the specific award. But to join an office hour, again, this is embedded in every single award for Europe and Eurasia. You want to click join an office hour. You can scroll down to Europe and Eurasia. And all you're having to input is your email address and your name. And again, they're going to be held every Monday between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So before I end the presentation, I just wanted to circle back to our PowerPoint. So if you have any questions, you can always email europeeurasia@iie.org. You can also email your program staff person that's mentioned specifically in the award. So a couple of other things really quickly. I wanted to point your attention to Join My Fulbright. So this is a great place to be informed about upcoming webinars. I just want to point out that even if you're not able to catch our webinars live, they're all archived. So you do get advance notifications of any webinars that are upcoming. Any announcements to the program will go to all of our subscribers. If you wanted to refer a colleague, you could do so here. And this is just a reminder of our office hour. So please feel free to join us this coming Monday between 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock for our office hour. I will be presenting and happy to answer any additional questions. So at this time, our presentation is over. Thank you so much for joining me. And again, please feel free to reach out with any questions or concerns. If you are looking for an initial advising session, I do ask that you please send your CV along with your email. Thank you so much, and have a great afternoon.